Excited to be right here with you on this Sunday afternoon, gorgeous day in Clearwater, Florida. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and along with me today is my amazing and wonderful associate pastor, Pastor Jim Ellsbury. And we may have one of our radio team join us later. We will see. But in the meantime, we are very glad to be right here in this studio, are we not, PJ? Pastor Jim, everybody, PJ.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Yes. Always great to be able to share the word and have great music. And I tell you, the show before us, as I tell you all, Truth Talk, you got to catch it. You got to start in listening at 2:30. It's really good. Wonderful people. So anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit, and always a great show to listen to. And then here comes Beacon of Hope every Sunday at 3 o'clock. And in our, what did I tell you? We've celebrated our 11th year. 10th year. We're in our 11th year. I always get that wrong. It was April of 2007, so we celebrated our 10th year this year in April. And now we're in our 11th year right here on the air every Sunday afternoon. And we are so glad to be here. Always. Just exciting to bring the Word of God, to bring you some great contemporary music. And I just put a little post on Facebook reminding people to join us. And, you know, if you are just now tuning in, you want some of your relatives or friends to join you in listening today, this is going to be a life-changing show. You say, you've said that before. I really mean that. I mean that because we had a life-changing service this morning. And the anointing of God is very, very strong. And today we're talking about healing for your emotions and your body. And Jesus, our Savior, Jesus is our salvation. Jehovah is our salvation, which is what his name means. Plus the other things we've been talking about in this series. Who is he? I don't know about you, Pastor Jim, but I am so excited about being here today and talking about Jesus. There's nothing better I'd rather do than talk about Jesus. How about you?
Amen.
Kind of rhymes.
I know it does. And I forgot to mention something. I just turned 44 years old.
In the spirit,
tomorrow. I'll be 44 years old tomorrow.
Wow. In the spirit. That's when you got saved.
I got saved in 1973.
Wow. And I just got a confirmation by text that our dear Dr. Angel Falzone, will be joining us at some point during this show today. So that's always good, too. And so stay tuned for an amazing show. And when I say that it's life-changing, I mean this. We can go on all of our lives in the same problems, the same ruts, the same habitual behavior, and we can just keep on doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, and that's called insanity.
Insanity.
That's the definition of insanity. I'm going to say that again for some of you who've never heard that, and I don't mean you're blooming crazy or anything like that, but it's crazy to think that if we keep doing the same things over and over again in our lives and expecting a different result, that's just wrong.
It's just wrong. If we keep doing the same things, then the results are going to be
the same.
I mean, unless we change the things we are doing, then the results are going to be the same.
Well, Sister Rebecca, Apostle Rebecca, just said to me, you know, when you plant the seeds, it sometimes takes time for it to grow, you know. And I think that what happens is a lot of times we plant seeds that maybe are a tad bit different than our habitual behavior. And it, when we don't get the crop we want, like, right away, then we go back to our old ways. Do you know what I'm talking about, PJ?
Well, yes. Jesus talked about the parable of the farmer.
Right.
Now, he was doing it in reference to the kingdom of God, but it certainly is the same thing, because we plant seeds into the kingdom of God, whether it be in our own individual life or in the world. But it said that, you know, the farmer waits first, you know, the blade, then the ear, then the corn on the ear. I mean, you know, it takes time. James told us, you know, be patient. He cautioned patience. He said the farmer waits patiently for the harvest. And you're absolutely right. Sometimes we just want to rush everything.
We do.
And then when it doesn't come about, then
we quit.
Well, and then we return to the safety of the old ways.
And you know, this is an interesting intro. We never plan our shows. We let the Holy Spirit lead. But this is just kind of started here as we were talking. And I find this fascinating for the topic we're going to have today. Because so often, people in medicine, you find this, okay, that people are given a prescription, okay, let's say, and they start feeling a little better. And especially with psych meds, this works. They start feeling a little better. So they just quit taking their medicine.
I'm better now.
I'm fine. Okay. And then they fall down in whatever's wrong with them, you know, whatever the case may be. You can't, if you're on blood pressure medicine and a doctor has prescribed it to you and you need that to regulate your blood pressure, you don't just one day wake up and go, you know, I feel fine. I've been taking this blood pressure medicine for 6 years. I'm just going to quit. Well, then you're going to have some major problems if you do.
Right.
Right. So, and we believe in medicine. We believe in doctors. We're not off the chain in that area or anything. We believe that God has ordained doctors, medicine, all of that. Medicine occurs in so many plants naturally, et cetera. And so, but we also know, above all things, that God is our healer.
Right.
He created all those plants. He created all the ability to discover these chemicals that do help people. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking about abusive drugs. We're talking about things that are helpful to, like, regulating blood pressure, for instance. Okay? So you say, what does this have to do with your topic today, Pastor Marcia? Here it is. We must be willing to always look at the author of healing, who is Jesus, who is God Almighty, and realize that even if we have to have a surgery for something, God is using that to heal us, right?
Absolutely.
And we also must not be stuck in our old habits and our own old routines the point that we're not open for God to move in our lives.
Exactly, because that, for a lot of people, that's stepping into uncharted territory.
Yeah.
We were never taught that in my church.
Right.
Or, oh, you know, healing is not for today.
Right.
You know, sometimes you have to stretch your faith and step out into unfamiliar areas.
Right.
In order for God to work.
Absolutely. And you and I both, as pastors, ministers of the gospel all these years, we've seen people healed. We've seen people healed on the spot. We've seen people healed gradually. We've seen people that have a miraculous suddenly moment, and suddenly all the symptoms are gone and they are just fine. We believe in Jesus the healer, and we're going to talk about it today. Those of you that are ill, whether it be emotionally or physically, God wants to break some chains over you today.
Amen.
God wants to set you free from things that have bogged you down for a long time. Some of those are physical impediments that have been just one, like, noose around your neck for a real long time. So guess what song we're going to start with today? It is Chainbreaker. Woo, this is pretty cool. Zach Williams, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chainbreaker.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, There's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. Feel lost, he's a waymaker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains, oh, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you feel lost, well, he's a waymaker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. Oh, if you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, well, he's a chain breaker.
Chains, he's the chain breaker. Boy, that just song fit in perfectly with the intro we just did. You got pain, he's the pain taker. You know? Lovely. Woo! What were you feeling there, PJ?
Same thing. I mean, just even the opening line. If you've been walking down this road for miles and miles.
Yes.
About nothing changing.
Yeah.
I mean, that fit in really well with our introduction.
It did. And how many times do we know people who have lived with the same aches and pains forever and that like nothing ever changes? And, you know, they've come up for prayer before. If you are one of those people today, this is your day to receive your healing. You say, but I'm not listening live. I'm listening like a week from now, let's say, in the future. That's okay. Because it doesn't matter if you're live or whenever, the anointing stays on these programs. We have seen God move mightily in these 10 plus years, and we have seen and heard of people that have been touched by the power of the Holy Spirit during the show or later on when they listen to it. So if you got pain, he's the pain taker. You got chains, he's the way maker and the chain breaker, isn't he?
Right. Amen.
Woo!
And I was going to say, yeah, don't worry about listening to the show later.
Right, you can.
You know, God is above time.
Right, yes.
You know, he created time. So it doesn't matter if you listen to it, you know, you happen to be listening to us live or tomorrow or next week or a year from now.
Oh, absolutely.
Take the word. Woo. It's for you.
It is for you. Amen and amen. We're going to Matthew 8. Wasn't going to go there. We're going there, okay, because God just said go there. So when we hear the Holy Spirit speak, we obey. Jesus came down from the mountain, verse 1 of Matthew 8, with the cheers of the crowd still ringing in his ears. Then a leper appeared and went to his knees before Jesus. Now, we know about lepers. Pastor Jim and we've talked about this a lot on this show. cleansing lepers was going to be a sign of the Messiah. And it's pretty fascinating to me that here in Matthew 8, kind of at the beginning of Jesus' healing ministry, that this leper comes up to him. And don't you think that the rabbis, the people around, the religious leaders who knew that that was supposed to be a sign that this was the Messiah were probably going, what's this about?
Right. Well, absolutely, because, I mean, there's so much at play here. Because, you know, we hear of two lepers, I believe, I could be wrong, being cleansed in the Old Testament.
Right.
One was Miriam, Moses' sister.
That's right.
The other was Naaman.
Yes,
Assyrian,
Naaman. Yes.
A heathen. So he
and that's the only time we hear about lepers being healed in the Old Testament. That's the only thing I can remember, too.
Yeah, I believe those are the only two times. So
right.
Obviously, Naaman did not do what, under the law, he was supposed to because he wasn't Jewish. So,
right.
But there were things you had to do.
Yes,
and,
yes.
You know, a leper had to tell everybody that they were unclean.
Mm-hmm. They had to shout.
And
did they shout the word unclean?
Unclean.
I thought that's the word they shouted before they would approach people, right?
Right.
And then people would scatter like crazy
people
away
would
from
get
them,
away
right?
Because, oddly enough, up to this chapter and verse, cleanness was not transmittable. Uncleanness was.
Isn't that interesting?
If you touch something, well, you go through the law, you never.
Yeah.
It was always uncleanness that was transmitted to somebody.
Well, think about disease today. What disease is that is bad and it is transmitted, but healing, unless you purposely pray for someone, is not transmitted, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So it's the same thing here. And under the law, the leper had to go make a sacrifice.
Right.
And I remember you saying once, you know, they were getting flooded with lepers. They had to go back and check the books, see what to do.
Right.
Because you just didn't have it happen.
Right.
All that much. But, you know, the leper comes up to Jesus and says, if you're willing.
Yes.
And Jesus said, I don't think so.
Right.
I'm not going to touch you.
You are wrong there, PJ.
You're unclean. Go away.
Yeah, I think you need to read Matthew 8 here about verse 2 or 3 because Jesus said, I want to.
Yeah, he said, I will. You know, I will
be clean.
And not only that, but in verse 3, absolutely, he reached out and touched the leper.
And he touched him, which is a point of contact. And you see Jesus doing this all through his ministry here on this earth. And so often, I mean, you take the medical sciences, doctors, ER people, whatever, they touch people. They don't just let them lay there and look from a distance and stand 10 feet away and go, I wonder what he has. No, they examine that person, right? They touch them physically.
Right. But under the law,
right,
Jesus should have been unclean. Of course, he was touching all sorts of unclean things.
Oh, yeah.
Dead bodies, lepers, you know, it didn't matter. And the amazing thing is, whenever he touched them, it wasn't Jesus that became unclean.
Right.
They became clean.
Because that's the power of Almighty God.
Amen.
Woo! And you feel the anointing, PJ, right
amen.
This minute? I mean, God is gearing up right now, dear audience, to heal some people out there. Let your faith rise. I have one of our t-shirts on from Beacon of Hope that we had designed several years ago, and this saying is not original with me, and I don't even know where I got it. But it says this: faith is acting like God told you the truth. And, you know, talk to me about that, PJ, because that's really what it's about, you know?
Well, absolutely. I mean, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We have to believe that the word of God is the word of God. It's the truth.
Right.
And Jesus prayed in the garden, Father, sanctify them, set them apart. In your truth, your word is truth. And
yes.
So it's just taking God at his word. He's faithful to his word.
Right.
I can believe in his word, what he says to be true. And because he's proved it.
And so when he says here, I want to be clean, I said this morning. In fact, I just see that It's in, written right above this chapter that I wrote this many years ago. Many believe Jesus can heal, but few believe he will. And talk to me about that, Pastor Jim, because here the leper says to him, if you want to, you can heal my body. I mean, he really knew that Jesus could do it if he wanted to.
Well, because, yeah, before this, Jesus had already been doing some healing in chapter 4.
Right.
You know, he'd already performed some miracles.
Right. Yeah.
But here, I think it's just, I think it's so important that, you know, he said, if you want to, you can make me clean.
That's exactly right.
And sometimes we think, well, Lord, if you want to, mm-hmm. And what was Jesus' response? I want to.
Of course I want to.
I want to.
We sang that song this morning in our worship, Good, Good Father. And I love that song because it talks about the fact that God in his infinite goodness wants to do these things.
Right.
Wants to heal our bodies, wants to provide for us. And I think the devil is very cagey about this, Pastor Jimmy. He gets in there, well, maybe God doesn't want to do this for you because you did this. This is a punishment because you did this. So that's why you have this disease. So many people think that disease, cancer, all kinds of things like this are a punishment from God. Would you like to debunk that right now?
Usually diseases are as a result of our own lifestyle choices.
And genetics, don't you think?
Yeah, genetics, yeah. Lifestyle choices. I mean, if I choose to eat nothing but red meat and potatoes, which I would love to, but I can't, I mean, who would I have to blame if my cholesterol shot up through
exactly.
the roof and I had 100% blockage in my carotid arteries?
Yeah.
That's not God's doing. That's mine because I made some really poor choices.
That's a huge point right there.
And I think sometimes, you know, I think sometimes people do it to shame themselves
right.
because they have bad self-esteem. Other people do it to shame other people because, you know, they want to bully or put somebody down. And I think sometimes we need somebody to blame. And sometimes it's easier to blame God.
As
people will say, well, what about Job? What about Job? And I say, what about Job?
Right.
You know, yes, it was Satan that touched him. It wasn't God. And, you know, people would say, well, what about the plagues of Egypt and all that? That was demons doing that. God allowed those things to happen. And sometimes, yes, sometimes, rarely, obviously, you know, it's rare, but sometimes that judgment does happen. But
right.
It's rare. We make it sound like it's an everyday occurrence.
Like God's all the time looking down from heaven, looking for people he can
smack upside the head with an illness. And it's rare.
Yes.
I mean, there are only a few designated times. And it all has to do usually with a final judgment. Egypt. The end, just before
right.
Jesus
it's not a normal
it's not
everyday
a normal
thing.
Everyday occurrence. And I think people need to understand that. Yeah,
I agree.
Sometimes, you know, God allows things in our lives because we've made some rather stupid, for lack
right.
of a better word, choices in
right,
our
sure.
in what we do, either eating or sleeping or whatever. God will allow things to happen.
Sure.
To wake us up.
But he always still wants to intervene and touch us. That is his will.
That's the point.
So you just made the point that so often we look for someone to blame. And generally speaking, the devil does a good job of trying to get us to condemn ourselves.
Did God really say?
Right, exactly.
Just like you did with Eve.
Right. And we know from Romans 8:1, there's that, therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you are using the excuse, well, I'm sick and I think God is punishing me because I've just not been the Christian I should be, or I did this or I did that, or, you know, I got caught in this problem and that problem, or I stole this or I committed adultery. God is not looking to punish you.
Right.
because, and I throw this in right here, James 1:17, every good gift comes down from the Father of lights. You're going to turn to that?
I am. There's also another scripture in James.
That you want to do?
I think it's in James.
All right. James 1:17 says, every gift, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no changing or variableness or shifting shadow. In other words, God's not sitting around changing his mind all the time. He's not flying in and out of the shadows and saying, oh, okay, I think you deserve this punishment. Is cancer a good gift? It is not.
No.
Ever a good gift. Go ahead. What verse is it?
James 2:13.
2:13.
The very last part of
yes.
that verse.
Yes.
Mercy triumphs
yes.
over
judgment.
Judgment.
Mercy triumphs over judgment.
I think sometimes we think judgment triumphs over mercy.
No.
Because we have this skewed view of who God is. We compare him more to like Zeus in Greek
right.
mythology, right? Just send down a lightning bolt.
That's not who he is.
That's not who he is.
And for those of you that are a little more advanced in the Bible, in the Tabernacle of Moses, the Ark of the Covenant contained the sample of manna. It contained Aaron's rod that budded. It also contained the Ten Commandments, the law, right? Mm-hmm. Which is judgment. But that was in the box, in the chest, sitting. The top, the seat was called the mercy seat. Right?
Right?
Mercy triumphs over judgment. James 2:13. Perfect verse right there for that. Thank you for bringing that up. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So therefore, dear one, if you have, let's say you've been a smoker for 59 years, now you got lung cancer and you go, well, I brought this on myself. Well, mercy triumphs over judgment. Okay? So quit picking on yourself, quit beating yourself up, and ask God to heal your body.
Right.
Jesus said to him, of course I want to. Master, if you want to, you can heal my body. Jesus reached out and touched him in verse 3 of Matthew 8. That's right where we are right now. And he said, I want to be clean. And then, the next sentence, then and there, it says in the Message Bible, all signs of the leprosy were gone. All signs gone. Instantaneously, sudden moment. Does God still heal today in a suddenly moment? Yes, he does, and mm-hmm. yes, he can. Then Jesus said, don't talk about this all over town. And then let's go down to verse 5. And Jesus entered the village of Capernaum. And by the way, why did Jesus say not talk about it all over town? Because he wanted more time to do his miracles.
And I just want to finish up.
Go
because
ahead.
We were talking before about a proof of the Messiah. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. Matthew 8, verse 4, and Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest
right.
and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them.
Ah, make that point. What Dr. Angel's
because
getting ready to call in.
Because it's a proof.
Right.
It's one of the proofs, again, of his messiahship.
Yes.
Is that he was healing lepers.
Yes.
Yes, it was a proof that the man was cleansed, but there's a double meaning there. It's also a proof of, I mean, it's like, well,
the
who
Messiah.
Healed you? Jesus.
Right.
Wow, we got somebody out there healing lepers now.
And as we made a point a few minutes ago, the rabbis taught that the Messiah was going to be able to heal lepers. Why they thought that, I don't know. There's probably some scriptural thing
scripture
in the Old Testament, but that's okay. We don't have to go there right this minute. But that's what they taught. So therefore, when Jesus suddenly appears, not afraid to touch lepers, not afraid to speak healing and say, be healed, be clean, interact with them, get that close to that leper. And Jesus' comment is, of course I want to. Yes, I want to heal you. And dear one, oh, the anointing is all over the show. I feel it very, very strongly. For you out there, listen, write these points down as we make them. Number one, quit looking for someone to blame, yourself or someone else, for why you're ill or why you have this problem, whatever it is, emotional or physical. Quit looking for someone to blame. And secondly, realize that God wants to heal you. God wants to heal you emotionally. He wants to heal you physically. That's what he wants to do. Dr. Angel, I want you to comment on this before we go to this next song. Welcome. Well, glad you're joining us.
Thank you. It's good to be here. And yes, he does. He wants us to live in wholeness.
Yes. Yes.
Completely.
You know, a lot of people accept psychological issues, emotional issues, physical problems as just a part of life. You know what I mean, doctor?
Yes, they do. And they don't have to. There
or a way to beat themselves up, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-mm-mm. Let's go to a song by Matthew West, I think it is, that kind of talks about this. And the title of it is Hello, My Name Is. Love it. Whoa.
My name is regret. I'm pretty sure we have met. Every single day of your life, I'm the whisper inside that won't let you forget. Hello, my name is defeat. I know you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I'll drag you right back down again till you've lost all belief. Oh, these are the voices. Oh, these are the lies. And I have believed them for the very last time. Hello, my name.
Hello, My Name Is by Matthew West. Child of the One True King. Woo! Dr. Angel, you want to comment on that before we go to PJ? And doesn't that song ring true for so many of our listeners?
Absolutely. It really just sums it up. And being that child comes with lots of benefits, and the benefits are him wanting us to be whole completely inside and out and physically and emotionally and spiritually, and it's the whole package.
Oh, it is. It's the whole package, yes. Pastor Jim, talk about that, and then we're going to verse 5 of Matthew 8.
I like that. That's the whole package.
Whole package. W-H-O-L-E, whole in every way.
It's the entire package.
The entire package.
Well, I kind of talked about that this morning a little bit, the service that...
Yeah.
Full evangelism, I think the Vineyard used to have a name for it. It may have been full evangelism, but includes not only the preaching of the word, but the signs that follow to back it up.
Yes.
I mean, preaching the word is wonderful, and an anointed word is its own sign.
Yes.
But sometimes we need these signs.
Oh, we do.
And, you know, that's what was happening here as a proof to them.
Absolutely.
As, you know, we better study up. We got somebody out there cleansing lepers now.
Well, in that first example, we talked about the leprosy and all that. Now we have the second example that starts right here in verse 5. Jesus enters the village at Capernaum. A Roman captain came up to him in a panic, and he said, "Master, my servant is sick. He can't walk. He's in terrible pain." Now, in the first example, the person's right there in front of him, okay? We have a prayer line, and you can access it 24/7, 365, prayers@bohmglobal.com. That works whether we know you or can see you or can touch you. You don't have to have hands laid on you to receive your answer to prayer, correct? This guy comes to Jesus. "My servant is sick. He can't walk. He's in terrible pain." Jesus didn't touch him physically. And here we go. Jesus says, "I'll come and heal him." "Oh, no," the captain says. "You don't even have to do that." And here's the faith of this man. Remember what my shirt says today. Faith is acting like God told you the truth. Okay, so this guy says what, PJ? And what does he ask Jesus to do?
He asked him to come and heal his servant.
Right.
And he says, you know, I tell you what, Jesus had no sense. I mean, here, by doing what Jesus did, he offended all the religious Jewish people.
Okay.
Especially the Jewish leaders. Because here he is consorting with a Gentile.
Right.
And, you know, the centurion says, you know, my servant's lying home sick in bed, suffering terribly. And Jesus just doesn't even wait to be asked this time.
Right.
He says, "I'll come. I'll heal him."
But he doesn't go.
No. Well, because the centurion says, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof." You know, but only say the word and my servant will be healed.
You talk about faith. You know, some people put their faith in a person, okay? And they think, "I got to go to this rally. I got to go to this crusade. I got to have this person touch me and pray over me and I'll be healed." And Jesus debunks that whole thing right here in this story, because the centurion just says, "You don't have to come to my house. You got a lot on your plate today. Just say it. Just speak it. Just speak it. Just say the word. Talk to us, Dr. Angel." Whoa, I love this.
Well, the faith that's manifest. But I think, you know, the centurion, you know, he was he understood authority and lines of power, too. I mean, he was a man who can give those commands and those things would happen. And I think we've kind of in our culture gotten away from understanding that authority and that power of the word. And what's behind the authority, it's not, you're right, the person, the preacher that we go to, it's the authority behind the preacher, which is Christ.
Exactly. And that centurion got that, didn't he? He understood the authority that if Jesus just spoke the word and said, "Be healed," that it would happen. You know, and talk to us about that, PJ, without me going on. Go on.
Well, I think part of it, too, is when he says, "I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof." I think that there's a couple of things there. First of all, in the natural, who of us is worthy to have Jesus come under our roof? Well, none of us. But I also think part of it was he recognized Jesus' role, as Paul said, to the Jew first, then to the Gentile. And I think he may have been thinking about that. And knowing how his people, the Romans, treated the Jews, especially in Judea, how they bullied them and beat them and everything. I think he may have been, I think that may have played into it. But for whatever reason, he said, no, you don't have to come. I know, like Dr. Angel said, I know what'll be done. Because just like me, when I say something, I know they're going to do it.
Right.
I don't have to see it. I know it's going to happen.
Exactly.
And I know it's the same way with you.
Right.
And, you know, Jesus was completely amazed by this.
Right.
And really, again, kind of gave the religious leaders a slap in the face when he said, you know what? Many of these Gentiles are going to sit at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, while many of the sons of the kingdom are going to be left outside.
Right. That had to be a hard blow to take.
That had to be.
That the gospel was not just for the Jews?
Yeah. Like I said, Jesus needed to take that Dale Carnegie course.
You know, well, because he just said what he wanted to say, boldly.
He said what needed to be said.
Yes, he did.
But then he turned to the centurion and said, you know what? Go and let it be done to you according to your faith.
According to your faith. So what you believed, in the Message Bible it says, what you believe could happen has happened. And remember that I said a few minutes ago, many believe that Jesus can or could heal, but few believe that he really will, right? So here we have an example of the centurion believing that he could and believing that he would. He could and he would. Talk to us, Dr. Angel.
And he did.
There you go.
And he still does, because the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he doesn't change. And so what, you know, those stories and the scriptures are to give us a faith of what he can do in our lives.
Yes, yes.
Every day.
And you know what? That's no small thing. What you just said is no small thing, because a lot of our listeners scattered around the globe can say, well, I don't know this Jesus that way. I don't know why y'all are so excited about talking about his healing power. I've never seen it. Talk to me about that, PJ.
Well, today's a good day to see it. Seriously. I mean,
Any day.
But
let's make it today.
Yeah, amen. That's what I meant. Yeah, let's just make it today then. I think some people have swallowed the lie from the devil that the minute John put that last period at the end of the book of Revelation,
yes,
all the miraculous stuff stopped.
So many churches teach that.
Yeah. And
there's no scriptural basis for that.
No, absolutely none. There's no... You find me a scriptural mm-hmm. basis that said...
Oh, by the way, the rest of you that are going to come after us, you're just out of luck. Because
yeah,
you're
Jesus
not going to have any healing power.
Yeah, Jesus did not say, these gifts shall follow them that believe, up until John receives the revelation.
Right.
He just said, these signs will follow them that believe.
Exactly.
He didn't put a time limit on it.
You know, I think that is used in some of these churches as an excuse to not step out in faith and lay hands on people, because they're so afraid that if I do, what if it doesn't work or whatever. So they just say, oh, that was Bible times. That was just Bible times. That's it.
Well, and if it doesn't work, then okay, it's in God's hands.
Just keep praying.
Just
sometimes
keep praying.
Healings are gradual, by the way, not instantaneous.
Right. And just keep praying. I think,
well, it's like
I
Matthew 7:7, ask and keep on asking.
Uh-huh.
There you go, Angel. There you go.
Right.
That's the answer right there. Ask and keep on asking. Seek, keep on seeking, not keep on knocking. It's in the ing form, the present participle.
Yes.
Is that what it's called? And you just keep doing it. Sometimes we stand in faith for a long time. I've been reading recently something by my favorite author, Graham Cook, and he said sometimes that the length of the trial and the test just goes on, and you're looking for the breakthrough. You're looking for the opportunity to say you're out of it, and you're still not out of it. Well, it's because God's still doing some things there that need to be done. I don't like to hear that answer, by the way, but it's true. Talk to us, Angel.
Well, you know, and God has a purpose that's beyond what we can see and plans for us that are beyond what we can comprehend. And, you know, and you're right. Sometimes it's gradual healing. Sometimes it's happening in step by step so that we don't walk back into the same bondage that we walked into in the first place, so that we can learn and mature through that process of healing. You know, and sometimes it's a timing for God's glory, because healing is all about God's glory, and he might just be waiting for that time for his glory to be shown.
Ooh, yes. Pastor Jim?
I agree with that. That's so true. You know, it's we put up roadblocks, and I think because, again, we've been taught, we're afraid.
Right.
Afraid of failure. And you know what? Then you just keep praying. Like we said, we're afraid. I think some people are afraid of extremism.
Yeah.
You know, I know.
Oh, that's weird. That's strange.
Well, yeah, I have to share this because it was also 43 years ago. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Actually as of the 27th.
Okay.
And you know, I tell that to my father. Well, his only experience with anything like that was the mother of one of his coworkers who went to a apostolic Pentecostal, but it was Church of God of Cleveland, Tennessee, and they're pretty Pentecostal there. They like to jump pews and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Okay, we don't do that. We have no pews.
Yes, but that was my father's only experience with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, with you know, moving of the Holy Spirit was pretty radical Pentecostalism.
Right.
So when I told, you know, when I told him I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, he assumed that I was
a pew jumper.
Yes, absolutely. That I was one of those screaming, shouting, yelping Pentecostals. And yeah, y'all know me. That's not how I get excited, but I've never jumped a pew in my life.
Right.
But that was his assumption. I think some people are afraid, you know, they look at healing and assume that it's all part of that same thing.
Yes.
It's weird. It's out of the ordinary.
But it's not that. It's practical everyday living, because we need healing in our bodies. I mean, this is a necessary thing in our lives. Instead of allowing the devil to cower us or to intimidate, that's the word I want, not cower us, but to intimidate us into believing that, oh, that's just weird, or that was for Bible times only. Let's look at the third example right here in Matthew 8, and it is verse 14, because they've been walking and talking. We've had the first one, the leper, the second one, the centurion's servant, and now we get to the third one in Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. They're in front of Peter's house. Now, see, this is so cool about Jesus, because he takes us right where we are, okay? And there's a need that arises right here. Now they're in front of Peter's house. On entering, Jesus found Peter's mother-in-law, who was sick in bed and burning up with fever. He touched her hand, and the fever was gone. Here's another physical touch example. No sooner was she up on her feet than she was fixing dinner for him. You see, Jesus had a motive here. He was hungry, and he wanted a nice meal. And he walks in and finds out that Peter's mother-in-law's got a fever, and he goes, oh, I guess we gotta pray over her, you know? I'm being facetious here. But seriously, guys, there are practical reasons why we need to be on our feet and healed, not laying around sick. Right? Talk to us, Angel.
Well, we're walking testimonies of the Spirit of God in us every day.
Woo, yeah.
And when we are walking wounded and we aren't seeking healing, how are we testifying to the power of God to others in the lives around us? Because, you know, they see God in us. They, you know, they don't care how much we know about him. They can see his manifestations in our lives. And we need to believe and have that faith that, yes, God wants me healed. This is a testimony of who he is today.
And that is an excellent point. And I want you both to weigh in on this before we do this next song. I think so many people don't really believe that God wants them well. They know he can, but they think they're doing this, going through this, the old suffering for the Savior thing. You know, oh, I gotta do this for Jesus. I just gotta be sick and have cancer for Jesus. And, you know,
I'm not putting down a whole branch of Christendom, but there is a whole branch of Christendom that believes that very thing. And some of their saints, hint, hint, suffered horribly with tuberculosis and consumption and
right.
all these horrible things.
And they thought
things.
That was a godly thing,
and
right?
And I'm turning this over to God. I'm giving, you know, I'm suffering for
Jesus. I'm suffering
Jesus.
For the Savior, yes.
No. There's no scriptural, there's nothing in scripture that makes that scriptural. I mean, there's no verse you can point out that somebody
Jesus
sick,
never said, by the way, I want you. Yeah, by the way, I want you all to get really sick so that you can suffer for me. Jesus took our sufferings in his body on
right
the
here.
Cross.
It's,
where? What verse?
In verse 17.
That's right. I was getting there, but okay. Go ahead.
He says that. He said, this was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases.
Mm-mm.
Now, I mean, I even have a Bible.
Isaiah 53.
That's an incredible reference Bible. But that person that did the notes for it, all the Greek and Hebrew, is not a believer in healing. And there's even a place where, you know, this in Peter, I believe it is, when this verse is mentioned again.
Right.
He says, oh, that's just talking about physical healing. Excuse me. Matthew 8:17. Matthew applies that verse to physical
healing. There's three examples of physical healing in the first part of Matthew chapter 8. This is physical healing.
Right. I mean, he brought the sick and they were healed. He brought the demon possessed and they were delivered. And I like here too, I was going to mention, he did it with a word. And you know, it says in Mark chapter 16, in my name they will cast out devils. It doesn't take any long ritual. I mean, that's what, you know, especially like ID and all that, showing these exorcism stories this weekend because it's Halloween. Yawn, yawn. But it's like, with a word.
Right.
With Paul a word. Paul said in Acts 16, sorry, I got to make this point.
Go ahead.
In the name of, I cast you out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, come out of her. There was no big, long ritual.
No.
All it took was, in the name of Jesus, come out.
Come out. It's that simple, because the name is above every other name.
Amen.
Angel, your comment before we go to the song.
Well, you know, I think some people feel like they're not worthy of healing. I think,
oh, amen.
You know, when you look
yes.
back in the Bible, they kind of feel like all those people were perfect Christians and had it all together and didn't struggle or have sins daily, and they aren't seeing that they did. And if you look closer, it talks about how their struggles were, and they feel like they're not worthy. I can't measure up. I can't do this perfect. And God doesn't need perfect. He just needs a heart.
Woo, amen. PJ, your comment to that.
Well, I was going to say, then obviously they haven't read the Bible.
Right.
God only works with the imperfect.
That's right.
And
absolutely.
You know, we're all imperfect, and he works with all of us. And, yeah, I mean, that's the whole point. He wants us to be healed.
Exactly. That's the goal.
Exactly.
The healing has begun, Matthew West. Another Matthew West song. I just had
that.
To do this. Just had to do this. Oh, I love this song too. This is such a great show. Aren't you glad you're listening?
You've carried the weight of your secret for way too long. Thinking if there is a place called forgiveness, you don't belong. Oh, but freedom can never be found behind those walls. So just let them fall. Just let them fall. Oh, the healing has begun. Oh, the healing has begun. Today.
There's a world full of people dying from broken hearts, holding on to their guilt, thinking they fell too far. So don't be afraid to show them your beautiful scars, 'cause they're the proof. Yeah, you're the proof. Oh, the healing has begun. Oh, the healing has begun.
The healing has begun, dear one. God wants the healing to begin in your life right now. Whether you're suffering from a physical ailment, or whether your need is emotional, painful, grief, or sorrow you're carrying around, God wants you to trade all that in for His joy and His healing today. We're going into a second hour of this show, and as the Holy Spirit begins to stir your heart, let Him do it. Let Him do the work that needs to be done. Wake up this moment from whatever is binding you and keeping you from your healing. We've been debunking a lot of things in the last few minutes, and God has brought all of this. Nothing planned here today, folks. Had a general idea of where we were going, and that is all. The Holy Spirit of God is moving mightily through Angel, through Jim, through me, and we are saying the things and teaching you the concepts you need to cause freedom to come in your life. And we declare right now, by the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus over your mind, that you will begin to believe and you will begin to receive what God has for you this day. He wants healing for you. Let it be. Let the healing begin in you. In Jesus' name, we declare and we proclaim this. You know, this is serious. This show is very serious. There's an urgency in this show today, Pastor Jim and Angel, that I am feeling in my gut. And I think it began earlier in the week with me when I did that Facebook post on Trade It In. Hashtag Trade It In. If you've missed it, go to it and you'll find it. I think this is this very serious, somber moment in some people's lives right now. Angel, would you react to that? And then we got to get up here to the top of the hour for station ID, and then we'll get to Jim in a minute. Go ahead, Angel. We just got time for one of you right before this.
Well, you're right. I think there's a lot of people going through a lot of difficulties, a lot of struggles, a lot of disappointments, depression, anxiety, heartache. There's a lot going on, and there's a lot that, you know, God wants to heal that, and He wants to take that from us.